Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. Man, I'm at a loss for words in so many regards, in so many ways. God is doing something, and He's going to do something spectacular in this service. My message has been confirmed in so many different ways, and man, I just know God wants to do something here. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings, and we'll be reading from chapter 13, and we'll be reading from verses 14 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 13, 14 through 19. As Pastor already spoke about yesterday, this morning, that there was an accident that occurred during our business meeting, and we were some of the first people on the scene to try and assist the injured. There was a couple that had been hit by a pickup truck. Apparently, they had run a red light. Brother Malcolm and Brother Anthony and myself were the first ones on the scene. And we prayed and we blasted it as we released life into their bodies. And when the paramedics arrived, that we moved to the side and we kind of let it go. And when we were praying for them, we saw that they were breathing and that they seemed to be okay. They were unresponsive, but they were at least breathing. We thought that they would recover. And so when the paramedics arrived, the firemen and the police arrived, we stepped to the side and we just stayed around to see if there was anything else we could do to help gather information or assist the police. And then last night we found out the news that couple died. And when I received the news, I was extremely distraught and disturbed, because I'm from the persuasion that when you do something for God, you don't lose. The scripture says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm not used to losing. I don't like losing. I was greatly disturbed and distraught by the lack of manifestation of God's power in that situation. And one of the reasons why that we did not see it is that because we backed off. We thought that the professionals were there and we quit praying and we just sat on the sidelines. But the fact of the matter is the battle was not yet won and we needed to continue the fight. The word that God gave me before this incident even occurred, and as I said, has been confirmed by Sister Joanne and many others, is the word breakthrough. The word breakthrough. We thought that we had victory in that circumstance, as tragic as it was, and we did not. And the reason why is because we got comfortable. We put it in the hands of man instead of the hands of God, and because of that, we saw no manifestation. And someone died because of it. I don't want to lose anymore. We don't have time to play around, as Pastor has already alluded to earlier, that Christ's coming is soon. And tragedy and trials can arise at any moment. You may be called on in a moment's notice to be an ambassador for Christ, to manifest His healing, to manifest His power in any circumstance. And we must be at the ready, like a switch, be able to flip on the power of God to move in the situation. And the message I'm going to be speaking about has to deal with that exact situation. I'm sure that you have it now. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 says this: Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I want to read verse 17 one more time. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek. Today, I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, The Broken Arrow, The Weapons of the Breakthrough. The Broken Arrow. I want to talk about breakthrough today. I strongly believe that in this service, God is wanting to have a breakthrough, that He is sick and tired of seeing His people oppressed and living well beneath their means as second-class citizens, that He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome any challenge or any enemy or any problem that we should face. And I believe that today, whatever giant you may be fighting, whatever issue you may be struggling with, God wants you to have a breakthrough today. I'm tired of repeating the same grade over and over again, only to see others surpass me. I'm tired of seeing the enemy ruling triumphant in my life. Any area where the devil is winning, any area that has dominion over your life is an area where God is not being God in your life. And brothers and sisters, that should not be so. That God who rules the heavens and the earth should have dominion over all of us. In any area that we're losing, we need to give dominion or gain dominion back to Him. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I honestly believe that if whatever you walked in here today, you can leave here liberated and set free. You can leave here liberated and set free. Something is going to happen in here. I don't know what it is, but I've been feeling it in my spirit since this morning. There is a spirit of breakthrough and deliverance in this house today. And you can be set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love You. We worship You. And we release Your power even in us. Lord God, we do not beg for the rain to fall, for we know that inside of us are rivers of living water. I pray that every blockage, every obstruction, everything that is trying to stay or stop the flowing of God's Spirit in this house, I pray let the wells be unblocked. Spring up, O well. Let rivers of life flow out of us and drench and drown every demonic imp that's been assigned to us. Let the Spirit of God, I pray, liberate and set free. Break the shackles and chains that He has put upon us. I pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of the breakthrough, the anthem of victory, would raise in this place, and let the city of Milwaukee know that there is a God in Milwaukee. There is a God over this earth that can set you free. There is a God in this earth that can heal your body. That there is a God in this earth that can liberate you from anxiety and depression. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit have dominion in this place right now in Jesus' name. We thank You and praise You. And in the name of Jesus, somebody shout amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about breakthrough. This issue of breakthrough is something that's very personal to me. I have suffered loss on many occasions. I believe I told you about it in my message, Just Do It. It was about a year or so ago, where I talked about my loss in raising one of my students from the dead, that he passed from a tumor that was in his brain and he had a seizure. And I felt commissioned to go and raise him from the dead, and it seemed that every attempt to minister in that capacity was thwarted. And I actually had to preach the funeral, and I got there early to the funeral home before anyone else was there. It was just me and the funeral director. And I went to that corpse, and I laid hands on it, and I prayed in tongues and spoke life to that dead body, expecting, hoping for a result, believing for a result to be more accurate, only to be met with failure. And it was one of the most hardest, it was one of the hardest losses I've ever experienced in relation to my faith. And I had to wrestle with that issue and trying to resolve it, despite the results or the outcome, that I must be obedient to the Word of God. I must be obedient to the Word of God. But if I'm truly fulfilling the Word of God in all of its capacity, that I should be seeing results and seeing victory. I want you to understand that we are in a war, not just the war on terrorism, not just the war on drugs or poverty or homelessness, but that we are in a war, the greatest war to end all wars, the war for the eternal destination of mankind. And when you got born again, for those of you that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you got born again, you enlisted in an army to fight in this war, whether you realize it or not. You thought, well, I just want to go to heaven and just cruise my way across the pearly gates. That is not going to happen. I'm sorry to break your bubble. But when you became born again and you devoted your life to Jesus Christ, you signed up for a war. a war against darkness, a war against the very essence of evil and wickedness, a war that from an entity that its sole purpose and goal is to see the demise and the annihilation of mankind and to exert his authority and dominion over this earth. A warrior, an enemy that is relentless, that constantly desires to steal and to kill and to destroy. You have enlisted in this war. You probably did not realize that when you said, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, or you went down in his name and received his spirit. You probably did not realize that, but you are in a war. And my objective today is to not inspire you, but persuade you to fight against this enemy, to get fed up with the status quo, to say that the life that I'm living currently is unacceptable. I cannot go through another loss. I will not suffer another defeat. His influence will no longer have any bearing on my direction or my courses of action any further. I said I want to persuade you, not inspire you. And I meant something by that, because a lot of people, they get inspired. This is not in my notes, but I feel in the Holy Ghost I need to tell you this. I don't want to just inspire you and just give you a cute sermon to make you feel good and give you goosebumps, to make you have a positive motivation on life. I want to persuade you, which means I want you to buy into this thing that Jesus Christ is victorious and that he is God over the earth. I want you to invest in this thing. When Paul said in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither depth nor height, nor principalities or powers or things present or things to come, neither death nor life or any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He was persuaded to the point that he was willing to die for it. I don't want just to inspire you. Well, that was a nice sermon. That was a good word. I want you to believe it to the point where I'm ready to lay down my life for this truth that I have found. I want to persuade you that God has better for you. I want to persuade you that the only way the Christian should be living is in victory and triumph. The scripture says in Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If you're registered in the kingdom of heaven, you are registered for the draft into being the army. And the fact of the matter is, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. It is bombarded by wickedness and the assaults of Satan on a daily basis, profanity and blasphemy in all manners of manifestations. The Bible talks about that if you were of the world, then the world would love you in John 15. But because you're not of the world hates you because of me. You are either a warrior or you are a POW, a prisoner of war. You're either incarcerated or you're armed and dangerous to take down the assaults of the enemy. I have suffered too many losses and defeats. Today, I am getting breakthrough. Today, I'm graduating this class. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That you have an enemy and adversary who roams about as a predator, trying to find those who are weak, finding those that are vulnerable to his attacks. We must be alert, we must be sober, we must be aware, because the enemy is trying by any devices, by hook or by crook, to get into your life and destroy and dismantle you. This is not a time to relax or get comfortable. This is not a time to fall asleep at the wheel. This is a time to stand your post, secure your weapon, and fight the enemy today. I'm fighting a war right now. I'm fighting him on many fronts. As you already heard, that tomorrow my sister is meeting with some doctors, and unless God does something, she may go blind in her eyes. That is unacceptable. It's not going to happen on my watch. Don't you understand? This is not a play. This is not a game to me. This is heaven or hell for me. This is life or death. This means if I don't win, someone could die. We are in a war. And one of the problems with the soldiers in this army is that we lack the endurance to continue the fight. We are wearied and we are worn out by the daily assaults of our obligations. We are worn out by the things that the enemy throws at us. I want to encourage you that we cannot lose our stamina, that despite what occurs, we must continue the fight. One of the greatest and biggest mistakes in getting inside of a battle is not having the will to win it. I did not sign up for this thing to be a loser, for the devil to do a square dance all over my life. I signed up for this thing because I'm on the winning side. You don't get into a fight without a will to win it. But if I have to take off my weave and the weave's coming off, I got to get the shoes off, whatever. I'll grab whatever I have around me. But one thing's going to happen. Only one of us is walking away from here, and it's sure enough going to be me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3 that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The Bible commands and commissions us to fight for our faith, fight for our belief, fight for our destiny, even as a heavyweight boxer would fight for their title. You've got to defend what you believe, defend your salvation, defend your brothers and sisters when the enemy is attacking us. We're in this together. We shouldn't be fighting one another. We've got a devil out there that's trying to kill us. The devil knows that Christians want stuff immediately. We live in the microwave generation. We just pop it in for 30 seconds and it's all good to eat. That may not necessarily be the case. When you step in the ring with the devil, you may have to fight him a few rounds, but you've got to get stand your ground, get planted in the word, and say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm not leaving this ring until I've won the victory. One of the best examples of this principle we find with the apostles in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus has just had an amazing experience that he took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, onto a mountaintop. And there he manifested and showed his glory, the true essence of his sonship. He was transfigured during that particular instant. And Peter, James, and John saw the prophet Elijah. And they saw Moses standing before them. That was an amazing experience. And as soon as Jesus, Peter, James, and John get to the bottom of the mountain, what greets them but a devil? I want to tell you today that when you leave this mountaintop experience, be prepared to face a devil. Be prepared. Don't be shocked. Don't relax your guard because he'll sucker punch you right when you're not looking. As soon as Jesus got to the bottom of the mountain, there was a father with a son that was demon-possessed. Immediately, Jesus had to deal with the issue. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. I want you to notice this, that they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? The disciples were perplexed at their failure, because if we read in Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus commissioned them to go and preach the gospel, to go and to cast out devils. They had cast out devils before. They had seen victory before, but when they got to this case, they lost the battle and they were confused as to why this happened. You ought to be confused when you do not see manifestation, because God called you to be a winner, that greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. God has called us to triumph. He has caused us to be victorious over sin and wickedness, over death and over all the manifestations of the enemy. Something in you ought to be confused when you do not see the result. You shouldn't be, well, I guess that was, you know, it just happened that way. Sometimes you get surprised when you actually get blessed in something. Whoa, that actually happened? There needs to be a confidence in this word that we preach and teach. Jesus gives the explanation for their failure. Matthew 17, verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And look at this, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. If you believe. And I don't just mean mental assent. I don't mean just a logical grasp of the topic or the concept. I mean that it's down deep inside of your heart, in your belly, down inside the very core of who you are, that what you believe is true. When you truly have faith in God, the Bible says that nothing is impossible to you, that there is no foe that can withstand the onslaught of God's glory and his power. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. If you're going to win in a battle against the enemy, you've got to fight a fight of faith. And so what the enemy does is that he tries to pull a rope-a-dope on you, and he tries to exhaust you and tries to wear you out when you don't see victory immediately, and then you become discouraged. The Bible says that hope deferred, it maketh the heart sick. And because you don't see immediate manifestation, because you don't see immediate victory, you fall out of faith and you give up and you lose the fight. I want to encourage you, as the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You have got to learn how to endure, because the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But as he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You've got to make up in your mind that I am not losing this fight. And if this has to go 15 rounds, I don't know how many rounds it's got to be, whatever it is, but I am going to win this battle that I'm fighting. Your fight might be cancer. Your fight might be poverty. Your fight might be insecurity. It might be anxiety or depression, whatever your fight may be. But you've got to make a stand and say, enough is enough. The Bible promises us victory in Mark 9:23, and Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Bible tells me in Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have promises, guarantees that assures us victory. But we have to keep on fighting and go back to the word. In order to achieve victory, we must have an uncompromising tenacity, an unyielding attitude that makes defeat unacceptable. It is through an unrelenting, intense attack that will cause there to be a breakthrough. The dictionary defines a breakthrough as a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's frontline defense, an act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction, the overcoming of a stalemate. That a breakthrough is when you are able to penetrate through an adversary's defenses, their frontline defenses, and to exceed and go beyond into the interior to completely dismantle and destroy that this enemy that exists. Now, in order to do this, you may have something what's called a juggernaut. And I'm not referring to the X-Men villain. I'm referring to just the regular definition of juggernaut. And juggernaut is any large, overpowering, destructive force or object as war, a giant battleship, or a powerful football team. In other words, that there is a focal point of attack. There is an overwhelming attack against the enemy's front line of defense until the enemy can no longer withstand it, and there is a penetration of that front line defense. And one of the issues that we have in the church is that we are all over the place. The thing is that to really have a juggernaut, to have an overpowering thing, you got to focus on one particular point of attack. And one of the things that the devil does to us is that he distracts us and gets all of our energies going all over the place so that there is no focus. And although we're attacking him, we're attacking him over here, we're attacking him over there and over there, and we cannot focus on one thing in particular, and there is no victory and there is no breakthrough. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. Hopefully I've got enough time to get through this. Y'all with me? 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. Now, David had just been anointed king over Israel. And the Bible tells us here, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. When the enemy found out that David had assumed his office as king, that he was anointed king, the enemy moved quickly to try and attack him. Now, the thing is, David had already been anointed. If you know the story in 1 Samuel 16, that Samuel came to David when he was just a boy and anointed him king over Israel. But he did not assume his office until some 13 years later. 13 years, the reason why it took so long, because there was somebody else sitting in his seat. But David did not get discouraged. He let God fight his battles. Even though the person that was sitting in his seat was trying to kill him, he behaved wisely. And he trusted God. So when the enemy found out that now David is now walking into his anointing, what he was anointed to do in the first place, the enemy moved quickly to try and destroy him. When you first get born again, the enemy will try everything he can to destroy you immediately. Because he knows if you grow up too much, if you really get this word inside of you, that you will become unstoppable. Let me just kind of explain something just for a minute. When you have a prison break, all right, the guards are not going after the prisoners that are already in the cell still. They're going after the prisoner that's loose. And the thing is, they don't get him soon, he's going to get too far out. The prisoner that's getting loose will receive the most resistance. Why? Because he's a threat. When you got saved, you got loose from your prison. And of course, a loose prisoner is the most dangerous prisoner. And is the one that will receive the most resistance from the guards that are trying to put him back into his incarceration. And you wonder, man, I just gave my life to Jesus. Why is sin's getting sore? Why is everyone turning their back on me? Why is everything falling apart? Because you're loose from your prison and Satan's trying to put you back in your cell. And also a loose prisoner can also help other people get loose. So he's got to get you back quick. So look at David now. Is that they heard about this and David went down into the hold. He went down into a hold. The Hebrew word there for hold can also be translated fortress or stronghold or strong tower. He went to a place down into what some Hebrew scholars believe was a cave where he could be protected to get information and to ready himself for this particular fight. Verse 18, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. The Philistines chose a very interesting place to fight David. The valley of Rephaim. Rephaim is based on the Hebrew word Rapha, which is where we get the words giants. It's where we also get the words for Nephilim, or the giants of old that were in Genesis 6, that Goliath was a Nephilim, or was of a race of giants, as we all know, thanks to pastor's teaching, was demonic. Demonic hybrid human beings that were evil and wicked and were trying to destroy everything around them. The Philistines chose to fight David in a valley where all of these creatures dwelled. A place of giants. It was just below the city of Jerusalem. Now, what's interesting is the city that was in Jerusalem. Oh, my goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. Hallelujah. Something just hit me. David was of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. And inside of Judah was the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the vision of peace. Inside of your praise is a vision of peace. When giants may be in the valley, valleys of giants may be in your praise as well. But don't get discouraged. Because from Jerusalem to another city called Bethlehem was this valley of Rephaim. Bethlehem means the house of bread. In between your vision of peace and the valley of the giants was a house of bread or a house of the word. Ha! If you would just fight God, I mean, fight God, fight the enemy with the word of God. And not be discouraged by these giants. And stay in your praise and stay in your vision of peace. You will have the victory. That just hit me, sorry. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go to the Philistines without delivering them into mine hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. Now, what's interesting is the name Baal-perazim literally means the Lord of the breaks or the Lord of the breakthrough. David said that God destroyed the Philistines in such a fashion that it was like a flood coming and that just washes away everything. If you ever seen a tsunami, I'm not sure if you saw the footage of the tsunami that took place in 2004 in Sri Lanka. how this giant wave that came from an earthquake, from a shaking, a quaking, and it came in and completely just decimated everything that was around the land. And David said, he described the victory that he saw in this particular battle in the valley of the giants, where the enemy had a stronghold, that he described this particular victory like a flood coming in and washing everything away. And in that is a revelation, because the Bible says that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That when you believe on God and truly believe, as the scripture has said, that God will become a Lord of the breakthrough, a flood that will come in and drown every satanic attack that has been assigned to you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to move on. I want to get to my point. Turn me back to 2 Kings 13:14. I want you to see something here. 2 Kings 13:14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, where if he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. So Elisha tells him to get a bow and arrow and to prepare to shoot it. And when he was preparing to shoot it, the Bible says Elisha took his hands and he put it on Joash's hands. Joash literally means he who despairs or burns. Elisha means the salvation of God. He who burns or despairs had the hands of the salvation of God put on him to steady him, to direct him in his attack. You might have been he who despairs, but when God, salvation, Yeshua, he shall save his people, put his hands on you, salvation came. Verse 17. And he said, "Open the window westward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them." Now let me just explain something here. The Syrians had been enemies of Israel for many, many, many years, and had afflicted them, had tried to oppress them, had tried to invade them and enslave them for many, many years. So for God to tell this particular king, Joash, that I'm giving you the arrow of deliverance from this thing that's plagued the nation for years and years, this is a huge event. And we have to understand something here. Syria literally means exalted. It means exalted. Now, the place that God wanted Joash to defeat the Syrians, the exalted, was a place called Aphek. And Aphek literally means a rapid torrent. That sounds familiar. A rapid torrent, like a breakthrough. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself." Remember, Syria was called the nation that is exalted. To tear down every exalted place, anything that is exalting itself in your life over God is a place that must be torn down. And I want to tell you that God is handing you the arrow of deliverance from your bondage that's exalting itself over your life. He's in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 18 of 2 Kings 13. And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice and stopped. He stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." And this is where we miss it. He gave him the arrows of deliverance. And he said, you know, strike there. Every time you strike the ground, it's going to represent a victory over your enemies. And he only struck the ground 3 times. And the man of God was angry with him because you did it half-heartedly. If you really wanted to see them destroyed, you should have done it many more times. You should have hit the ground till that arrow broke. I've given you the keys to your victory. I have armed you, but are you dangerous enough to pull the trigger? And that's the problem we have in the church, is that we give up too easily. God hands us the key to victory. As in, as many as you do this, you will have victory. And we stop short. Keep on praying. Keep on rebuking. Keep on declaring and claiming. Keep on fighting. Keep striking, using that arrow to strike the ground till the arrow breaks, the broken arrow. Till that sucker breaks. Till you see absolute victory in your life. Do not stop. Do not let the enemy think that you, don't let the enemy make you think that it's okay. As soon as you start gaining on, he'll back off a little bit. Because he knows that we're lazy. We want to sit down and do nothing. No, you take that arrow and you start striking the ground till you break it. Till the enemy is consumed. I want to demonstrate this today. If I could have those of you that are in the young adults or youth class, however you want to define it anymore, you come up front for a minute. Why don't you come up front for a minute? You know who you are. Why don't you stand here for a second? We're gonna see some breakthrough today. Do something different. Why don't you stand up here just for a minute? You go on, you can face the audience if you want. In just a minute, you will. So, praise God. I was telling them in class that the Lord was showing me that there is breakthrough through these young people. We came back from the convention. These young people were on fire for God, and they were changing the course of every service we were having, every prayer meeting we were having. We were making grounds, and the enemy started fighting against us. We met great resistance, and we did exactly like Joash did. We only struck the arrow a few times. We didn't break the thing. We didn't keep going. We got distracted. We got comfortable. And because of that, we did not see true breakthrough. I want to you empower these young people. These young people are going to be used to start the breakthrough in the remainder of this service. The Holy Ghost is going to use them. Not just me. He's going to use them. He wants to empower this generation to see breakthrough. Young people, for a minute, I want you to close your eyes just for a minute, young people. Now, we already kind of had a slight breakthrough service in the Sunday school class. I'm not sure you guys heard us in there. We were just prepping the ground. I want you to picture the enemy that you are currently fighting, the thing that has dogged you from day one since you were born again, maybe even from childhood. Might have been sickness or disease. Might have been insecurity. Might have been depression. Might have been lust. Might have been whatever. Might have been abuse or hurt or offense. Been dogging you and having dominion over your life during this particular time. I want you to picture that thing as if it's a person. Picture it as if it's standing there. It's laughing at you, mocking you, saying that you'll never be free. This whole Jesus thing is baloney. It's not true. You can never be free from this thing. I own you, it says. You belong to me, it says. You'll never be free. You'll always be in bondage. You'll always be a second-class citizen. You'll always be a loser. You'll always be defeated. You'll never get anything that you want. It's mocking you, laughing at you, chuckling at you. I want you to picture that thing right now, whatever it is. And I want you to get angry at it. I want you to feel a self-righteous indignation in you that I am sick of living this way. I am tired of crying myself to sleep. I'm tired of having this pain in my body. I'm tired of being depressed. You've stolen my lunch money one too many times. Today I'm eating good today. I'm going to the buffet today. Get angry. I'm not going to breathe another breath of air until you die, you giant that is mocking me. Fed up. Enough. No more. Breakthrough. I want you to picture an arrow in your hand. Picture an arrow in your hand right now. God has said that every time you strike that arrow, you will defeat this enemy. Every time that you strike and you lash out in this manner, in this fashion, the enemy is going to be pushed back. I want you right now, raise your right hand. This is prophetic, what's happening right here. Pay attention to this. Raise your right hand as if you're grabbing that arrow in your hand right now. Take that arrow and start striking. And as you start striking, you start praising God. You start praying in the Spirit. You start declaring victory over that. Now, come on, now, strike. You guys aren't striking. You're petting it. You're patting it. Start striking that thing. Start, come on. Yeah. Strike it. Every time. Strike it till it breaks, till something goes. Come on, strike. Malcolm Audrey, get up here. Get up here. You belong up here. Start striking now. Yeah, come on, strike that thing. Y'all being sissies. Y'all scared or something? Hit that joker over. Kill that thing. Now. Hey. Strike it. Cancer, I strike you in Jesus' name. Depression, I strike. Yeah. Hey, something's happening. Level on them, I strike it. Strike. Hit. Till it breaks. No more. Hey. Woo. But I never know here. Come on, young people. We're taking back Milwaukee. We're taking back this city. Strike that devil down in Jesus' name. Come on. Hey. Victory. I feel breakthrough. Stand up, everybody. Come on. Let's go. The Holy Ghost is being released in here. If you want breakthrough, now is your moment. Pick up your arrow. Start hitting the ground. Start hitting the ground. Broken arrow. Breakthrough. Hey, come on. Don't stop. Don't get tired. Don't let him wear you out. Oh, no, devil. I'm getting mine today. I'm taking back my husband. I'm taking back my family and my children. I'm taking back my sanity in Jesus' name. Strike. Keep hitting till that sucker breaks. Breakthrough. Come on now. Push. Go 12 rounds with him. Break him. Yeah, come on. Break that joker. Pray in the Spirit, somebody. Praying that warfare is going on right now. Woo! My God! Break him. Cast him out. He does not belong. He should not be here. Get that joker out. Kick him out. Get him out. Yeah. I'm not leaving here till I get breakthrough in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Come on. Now's the time. Get loose. Get crazy. Come on. Let's go. Breakthrough. We don't need no music. We don't need anything. We just need God's power and His Spirit. Hey, come on. Woo! Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Strike that joker down. Keep hitting him with that arrow till that sucker breaks. Yeah. Don't you quit. Don't you tire out. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. God is my refuge. God is my strength. A very present help in trouble. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Yeah. Breakthrough. Come on. Don't quit. The devil's trying to wear you out. Don't quit. Keep striking the ground. Keep striking the ground till something breaks, till something erupts in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. Breakthrough, come on to you. Breakthrough from insecurity. Breakthrough right now. Right now. Break that joker. Break it. He does not belong. Jesus, yeah. Come on, dear. Hey, hey, come on, come on, come on, fight, fight, fight. Hey, breakthrough, like the Valley of Rephaim. Breakthrough. I'm here to kill some giants today. Who are you to stand against the armies of the Most High God? Hey! Woo! Breakthrough! Breakthrough! Who is this Philistine giant mocking the Most High God? Who are you to withstand His power and His glory? And then get angry, get fed up! Fight Him! Beat His behind down! In Jesus' name! In Jesus' name! Woo! Breakthrough! Oh my God! My God, I feel released. I feel something happening. Somebody open your mouth. Somebody start declaring victory. Somebody start praising God. Breakthrough. My God, break that arrow. You keep striking if something breaks. Woo! Good God from on high. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on, church. Come on, church. It's round three. Let's go. Ding. There's the bell. Start swinging. Start swinging. Start swinging. Start punching that joker. Start kicking him in the shins. Start breaking his toes. Start doing whatever you gotta do. You break that joker now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You will not have dominion over my life, devil. Not today. Not ever. This is my day of release. This is my day of victory. This is my day of breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Yeah. My God. My God. Woo! Yeah, come on. Some of y'all aren't angry enough. Some of you are okay with the devil wreaking havoc in your life. Come on, wake up. Wake up and fight with him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Get your sling right now. In the name of Jesus. Get your stones right now. In the name of Jesus. Start strutting your stuff down the valley. In the name of Jesus. And say, you who come at me with a sword and a spear, I come at you in the name of the Most High God. And it is the Lord who has delivered you into my hands this day, Goliath. And I'm going to take your own sword and cut your head off. Today, God has given me the victory. Today, I am getting released. Today, I am being set free in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. More, more, more. Come on, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We got some singing for the Holy Ghost down here. I want everyone to pray for them right now. Come on. The greatest breakthrough is when one day, once I was lost, but now I'm found. That once I was blind, and now I see. The greatest breakthrough is when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Help these kids get breakthrough. Come on, fight, 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 fight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.